Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
You heard Eamon mention there, look, sure, it's in the news, and Helen McEntee, the Justice Minister, was here in breakfast earlier this morning talking about the scenes, the protests in Newtown Mount Kennedy in County Wicklow last night. A number of people, 6 arrests, 5 charged, 4 in court today. Widespread condemnation from Taoiseach, Simon Harris, from the Garda Commissioner as well, Drew Harris, over the attacks on the guards during this protest at the site that's earmarked to accommodate international protection applicants. Miles Buchanan is a reporter with Wicklow People and is actually in Newtown Mount Kennedy today. Miles, what's the mood like there this lunchtime?
There's quite a bit of frustration, I think is probably the best word. There's simmering anger, and people are quite upset about last night and how it played out. Now, a lot of protesters saying that the guards were a bit heavy-handed. But it's just a lot of frustration, and people just feel that their voices aren't being heard at all.
In relation to the protests, or with regards to the plans for the site that we're talking about there at Newtown Mount Kennedy?
The plans. They just feel there's been no engagement at all. They've been out protesting 24/7 for 44 days now. And there's at least, even at night time, there's at least 3 or 4 people here. And they were saying how much of a peaceful protest it has been, but it got out of control last night.
It seemed to be when workers were being moved in or were going into work at the site, Miles.
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of anger. Initially, when it was announced that it was been assessed as an IPAS centre, there was already works taking place on site, the professor was saying, which was necessary for an assessment. So they're basically saying that the decision was already made without telling the local community. And they feel that if they weren't maintaining this protest for the past 44 days, that the centre would be up and running by now.
So, like, the condemnation from, I mentioned, you know, different political spokespeople, Taoiseach, Garda Commissioner today. Is there much talk about that in Wicklow?
There isn't much talk about it. No, I mean, the protesters are... talking to them, some of them that were involved last night, they were saying they were very afraid that things did start getting out of hand. Now, there's a lot of accusations that maybe the guards were heavy-handed, but, I mean, they have a job to do, and...
The guards came under attack too.
Yeah, well, they're arguing that there wasn't... the guards didn't actually come under attack. Now, they're trying to say that it was more the guards to blame, which...
Okay, well, sure, look, there's 4 in court today anyway, and we'll leave the...
There's 4 in court, there were 6 arrested. I mean,
leave it up to the courts to decide. But with regards to the discussion and the fact that it's dominating the headlines, you know, really nationally and I'm sure locally too, Miles, today, is people are... Look, I've no doubt people are upset, whatever their views.
Yeah, well... they are very upset. I think they're also upset at the idea that it's 160 people seeking accommodation, that it'll be intense. I think that's upsetting people as well. They do actually, some of the protesters and doctors are quite sympathetic towards the refugees that will be coming over, but they just don't feel that putting them in tents in a field that, according to them, gets waterlogged all the time is suitable. And it's just, what are they meant to do during the day?
Okay, so it's the whole process again around, look, there's always debate about whether or not people should have any consultation at all, but the lack of consultation is causing some upset for locals there.
The lack of consultation what's causing the most upset.
Take a listen to the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee. She was talking about this here in breakfast this morning.
In particular for this site, they have cleared it a number of times. They have been there. They have been managing it. But it did escalate last night to a situation where you had Gardaí coming under fire, where you had Gardaí being attacked, and 6 people were arrested. And I don't think anybody looking at the pictures from last night would disagree with the approach that the Gardaí have taken.
You see, if we just park Wicklow now for a moment, right? This isn't the first time we've talked about this here on the show. I have no doubt now it's not going to be the last. And only last week, actually, on this programme, we were talking about the scenes and the incident outside the Integration Minister Roderick O'Gorman's home in Dublin. And there was people here in the show telling us that they didn't think the guards were quick enough to act. So... You'd have to ask. They're sort of damned if they do and damned if they don't, I suppose. Christy is with us on the line. Because, Christy, you're a former Garda sergeant. Do the Gardaí have enough powers to deal with cases like this? And I'm not talking about Wicklow now, but just in general, no. Christy.
Yeah, I think they do have enough criminal law behind them to enforce breaches of that criminal law as well, because we understand that everybody has a right to protest and it's a constitutional right to protest, but you protest in a peaceful manner. We've seen a number of protests which have been taken over by certain groups and individuals who are more voluble, maybe intimidating or violent. There are peaceful protests where people who gather together to protest, and there is no problem with that. But when that protest then escalates into a more violent, where Gardaí are being attacked, where they're just there standing, as we always say, the thin blue line between anarchy and a peaceful resolution, we understand exactly what is happening. And we seem to have seen in this country where these protests in relation to asylum seekers or international protectees, it has escalated over a period of time. And the problem here is the lack of engagement with local communities. That was one of the big bugbears, even here in Donegal, where we've seen people coming in and being accommodated in different parts of the country, where people were not engaged with and local communities were not engaged with. And people don't have a problem with the people seeking asylum or the national protection protectees. What they do have a problem is that while they can't get accommodation for themselves, as they say locally here, that the other people from abroad can get accommodation and are accommodated fairly well. But that doesn't give the excuse for people who are engaging in protests, for those protests to become violent. We have seen what happened in Dublin in relation to misinformation, disinformation, and we have seen what happened in other parts of the country where Gardaí have come under attack and have to do their job. That's their job, to maintain peace and stability and security in this state. Mm. But when you have Gardaí cars, when the cars are being damaged and slashed and burned...
Yeah, I was looking at some of the footage of it there this morning and pictures.
I mean, that's public property. That's paid for by the taxpayers, or burning your own property. That doesn't make sense. So, I mean, the Gardaí have an invidious... They're in an invidious situation where we're always saying that... and we know from the recent GRA conference down there where they feel that there's a huge divide between the commissioner and members on the ground, or even the Minister for Justice. But, you know, you can say what you want under that privilege in relation to Gardaí and enforcement. But, you know, to actually stand on the front line, to face a barrage of missiles or stones or threats or intimidation or being spat at, that's totally different. And I would just ask anybody to put on a uniform and stand in front of a major protest and see how they feel about it. Because that's the difference between
a
peaceful protest.
Absolutely. And look, I'm conscious that, you know, I wasn't in Newtown Mount Kennedy last night. I wasn't in Wicklow. And I'm talking about this in the context of the footage. And it looks as we've been talking about AI all this week. Footage can be edited. You can see certain angles from footage as well. And I'm very conscious of that. Richard is with us too, Christy, because Richard, you've served in the police. You've served as an officer abroad. Do you think that the guards have enough powers here?
I do. As Chrissy said, the law is fairly clear. The criminal law is established. You know, peaceful protesting is allowed. As soon as you start chucking bricks at the police, it's not allowed, and the police have to act. I think to echo Christie's point there, that you know, the police are, you know, damned if they do, damned if they don't. They can't win this this issue, and these incidents get out of hand very, very quickly. My point would be that whereabouts the law might be established, I think training for the guards is probably something that would need to be stepped up. This is an area that we, you know, Ireland unfortunately seems to be moving more into, you know, a little bit of civil unrest, and it, you know, a well-trained public order team is a requirement. You know, we've had incidents in the UK, for example, where, you know, PC Keith Blakelock got hacked to death, in a riot in front of the PSU. And on the other hand, the Met Police only a few years ago pushed a protester out of the way, and the protester died. You know, this is the last thing you want to have happen. These things escalate. So the law is there, but I suspect that Drew Harris, you know, having worked in the north and having probably done a lot more public order, is probably correct that the training is going to have to be established. You're going to have to get, you know, a more robust public order uniformed Gardaí in Ireland.
Sad though it is.
Yeah. You see, that's the point, Christy. Like, you know, when we look at the footage and I think the protest yesterday went on for hours, like for a very, very long period of time. But, you know, there's maybe a 2 minute clip or a video that people might see where you see the interaction between the public order unit and those protesting. I mean, I don't know how that works. How long do you have a standoff between the guards telling people? I don't know.
I mean, that's the problem. It's a graduated response. You know, normally we try to get what we call the soft tops, or the guys with the ordinary, without the helmets, you know, that all the gear, the public order gear, to stand in front of maybe a protest. And that's only when things escalate into more violent, more intimidating, do the public order unit then are brought in. But the problem here is, and we've seen it time after time, that there is a need for officers to be trained up. All officers, not just 1,000 officers. All officers should be trained up in public order. When I was in Templemore, we were all trained up in public order. And that was back in 1983. Now we have a situation where only specific people are now engaged in public order. 1,000 people, you have 5.5 million people in this country. You have 1,000 guards. Not every guard can go. And we saw the deficits in that in the Dublin riots, where guards got into vans and everything else from Sligo, Donegal, Kildare and all over the country to come up and assist the members in Dublin. We had members in Dublin who were not specifically trained at public order, had to go to Santry and other places to get equipment like your helmets and shields and stuff like that. I mean, it's so inadequate at the present moment, the training and the equipment, it's diabolical.
Yeah, Liam Herrick is the executive director with the Irish Council for Civil Liberties. Do the guards have enough powers in dealing with this, Liam?
Good afternoon. I'd agree with a lot of what Christy and Richard have said. I mean, I think that there are questions about training and resources. And if we look back to 2018, the Garda Inspectorate carried out a wide-ranging review of public order policing in Ireland. They made recommendations about training, about command and control, about reviews of incidents afterwards, about equipment, operational planning, engagement with communities, intelligence, all of the various dimensions. And it's not clear that those recommendations were implemented. So I think that there are ways in which, and this came apparent, I think, in the riot last year as well, there are ways in which on Garda Síochána can be better prepared. I think the Taoiseach was correct this week when he said, before anybody suggests additional laws, we need to be satisfied that the existing laws haven't been exhausted. And there are very broad powers under the Public Order Act. And we also have to be very clear, and I agree with what Richard has said. I mean, where people are engaged in serious crime, arson, assaults on guards, damaging Garda equipment, threatening and abusive behaviour, destruction of private property, you are no longer exercising your constitutional right to peaceful protest. You're not. Mm. You don't enjoy the right to peaceful protest when you're engaged in serious violence. The criminal law is there to be used against those people in those instances. And there is a disturbing pattern of increasing violence being used at some events. And as well, it's not just about the harm that's being conducted when those crimes are being committed. I think some of these are clearly intended to intimidate members of minority communities, including refugees and asylum seekers. So I think it is a serious situation. Okay. And the Garda Commissioner only last year said that he thinks some of these extremist groups present a threat to national security. He went as far as to say that. So it's not just about local communities having legitimate concerns. They are important and they should be listened to. But there are small numbers of agitators that are clearly moving around the country, committing serious crime. And that is a serious law and order risk that we have to address.
Journalist Valerie Cox is with us. Valerie's also a Wicklow resident as well. Valerie, do you think the guards are equipped properly to deal with not just the incident in Wicklow last night, but in general?
No, in general terms, I certainly don't think they're properly equipped. Now, I know Drew Harris has made an effort in this regard. And one of the things he said was he was going to supply stronger pepper spray and body cams. But that's certainly not enough. I mean, people have been talking about the idea of arming all the guards. Now, the guards themselves do not want the ordinary rank and file guardie to be armed. They feel that that could be just an escalation of violence, as has happened in other European countries when this has happened. But the force needs to be able to defend themselves and to be able to defend the public, which is actually what they're doing. I mean, they're being attacked in the course of defending the general public.
Well, as Simon Harris said today, they're charged with upholding the law. That's their job.
Absolutely. And, you know, when the riots happened in Dublin in November, one of the things that came through very clearly there was the shortage of equipment. Gardaí were borrowing things. They didn't even have enough helmets. They didn't have enough shields. They didn't have enough to police the activities of the far right, which is now a huge challenge for them. So I think what we need at the moment, certainly the GRA are saying they would like to see the use of tasers becoming more commonplace. And they would also like to see a lot more armed units across the country so that they can spring into action immediately when members of the force or members of the public are under threat. And I think that really would make a huge difference. I also think I'm agreeing with everybody there was talking about more training. And it's not just a training, physical training. We're talking about the use of equipment. And we're also talking very much about a need to understand the laws that they're working under. Because if a Garda is deemed to have stepped out of place at all in relation to a civilian, they are subject to very high levels of scrutiny and accountability. And that is good. But we now have Gardaí who don't know whether they should be getting involved or to what extent they should be getting involved.
But this is the thing. Valerie, we had the discussion here last week and it was with the same discussions in last year before Christmas during the riots in Dublin. We had the same discussion with the protest outside Roderick O'Gorman's house last night. And like the assessment is, if the guards move too quick, you're heavy handed. If you don't move quick enough, it's softly, softly. I don't know how you get the balance.
It's a very difficult situation. But you see, at the moment, they're second-guessing themselves while trying to defend the public or defend themselves or whatever. Now, there's 96 Gardaí approximately have been suspended at the moment. Now, a lot of it would be investigations that have got nothing to do with policing. But if someone is involved in, say, a fatal accident, a Garda or whatever, yes, there can be investigations. But you get the impression from the way it's treated that if a Garda is involved in some way that injures somebody else, that they are almost automatically guilty, not automatically innocent until proven guilty. And that's where I think that the laws in relation to that need to be made very clear to Gardaí and their training.
A lot of people getting in touch about this. Texter says, I feel this discussion is very imbalanced. A lot of people now feel that we have done more than our bit in taking in people to the detriment of our own. It's impossible to get a GP, a house. Our young are leaving the country because of the lack of housing. And to say that it's not down to the amount of people we've taken in, I believe, is utterly disingenuous, not to mention undocumented and crime. That's just a text, one of many texts, very similar from one of our listeners here today. 087 1400 106 is the number. Valerie Cox, Liam Herrick, also Christy and Richard, they're both getting in touch with us. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on Newstalk.